Blog Talk Radio.
Marcianne, and this is Saturday night's Finding Mr. Right show this month, during this month of October, where I've been doing a show every single day. I hope you've been enjoying them. And tonight I'm going to talk about the movie Maleficent, because if you haven't seen this woman, this movie, if you haven't seen this movie, and you are a woman, and you are single, and you're looking for Mr. Right, you need to see this movie. Actually, you need to buy it and watch it at least once a week, or even every day for a month would be good. This movie is a brilliant story about women, about a woman. It kind of covers about the last 4,000 years of the history of woman. But the framework of this history is the original fairy tale that was eventually called The Story of Sleeping Beauty. But the history of women is not only told in the story of the fairy, but also in the curse that the fairy puts on Sleeping Beauty. Because we are at the stage in our current history where woman has lost all of her powers, like the fairy did. And the true woman that she is is in a coma, and she's going to stay there until the curse of the fairy is lifted off of her. And the fairy is harried and harassed, stressed to the max, exhausted, pushing beyond her limits. She's beguiled and begotten by a false sense of who she was and why she's here, and it's going to take the true love of the kiss of the heart of the mother to wake her up. And then and only then will the fairy get her wings back. But so let me, if you haven't seen the movie, it starts out with Angelina Jolie playing the part of the beautiful and happy fairy. She has gorgeous, huge wings, and she can fly anywhere she wants to. And she also has magnificent inner powers. And this power is manifested out through her hands in fabulous green healing and restorative energies. And she goes about her days playing in her kingdom with all of the elementals. Now, all through the esoteric and historical literatures, there have been these elementals. They've been known about all along, and they are the intelligence of all biological life. I mean, even in the past, scientists acknowledged the presence of these elementals, and that through them we can tap into the biological intelligence of the earth. The four primary elementals are gnomes, undines, sylphs, and salamanders, because these represent the four classical elements of creation: earth, water, air, and fire. And then there's a whole myriad of all the rest of the spirit world inhabitants: nymphs and elves and fairies and divas and sprites and mermaids and angels and archangels. And in the movie, the Disney creators and animators manifest the personality of all of these elementals absolutely delightfully in this movie, Maleficent. gnomes are the earth elementals, and legends have it that it is the gnomes in their tremendous numbers that do hold the stability of the earth. They're very protective, and they don't like it when the earth is used and abused. And the Undines are the embodiment of water itself, and actually Dr. Emoto proved that water does have intelligence and responds to external influences such as human suggestions. I mean, I write the word love on a piece of paper and I tap it to my water bottle towards the water so the water can read it. And then when I drink the water, I'm drinking love because the Undines respond with love. And then that just fills my body with love. And the skies are the domains of the sylphs. They're heard and seen in the wind. There's those sparkly, whirly, zoomy, flashy things that swirl around in the skies all the time. I have seen these sylphs. They are also connected to the breath. So when we are breathing in and out, the sylphs are breathing in and out with us. So they're involved in our very act of being alive. And, you know, some people who have breathing problems that are connected to an oxygen machine, it just would be better for them to breathe through a sylph because they purify the air all around us and keep us safe from the chemtrails and the pollution. And then finally, the salamanders produce great electric fields of energy. It's kind of like St. Elmo's fire or lightning. I mean, they live in volcanoes. They bring up the fire from the core of the earth, and the earth's core keeps us in balance and turning on our axis. And salamanders are very bold, feisty, energizing, transforming, impetuous, passionate little devils. Fire transforms and never destroys. Always remember that. Fire creates light, and in this context, salamanders can create illumination and enlightenment. So I kind of wanted to tell you about all of those so that when you watch, you know, as you watch the movie over and over and over, you can identify all these different groups and see how they help Maleficent in her life. Because really, we have all that help available to us. We could just get in touch with it. Okay. So this fairy is very happy, and she's in her daily living her life with all of these lovely creatures. And then one day she meets a mortal while she's out and about. And the mortal proclaims his love for her. And she's beguiled by his eloquence and his attentions and affections. But as it works out, he causes her to lose her wings, as this allowed him to get to the throne and become king. And then when she finds out how she's been so betrayed, she vows a vow of vengeance and retaliation. And although now she's grounded, she begins to use all her powers in less benevolent ways, as her unrequited love has caused her great hurt in her heart, and her pure love turns to hate and revenge. Well, you know what? This is the choice we all have, to use our power for love or for hate, because there is only one power. Okay, now she has a friend who is a crow. Now, this crow can shapeshift and take on any form, even human, and walk along the path with her from time to time. And the crow is her devoted companion, and he does whatever she wants him to do. I have crows that come here to the courtyard that is visible outside of my window here where I do my show in my office. And there's one that comes from time to time, and he sits out there and call, you know, and I call out to him. I say, come on, you know, are you my shape-shifting crow? Can you come in here and we'll have some tea? Well, anyway, she sends him out to spy on the king and she finds out that the king now is married and the queen is going to have a baby. So she puts a curse on the baby and says that when she is 16, she will prick her finger on the needle of a spinning wheel and she will die. However, there are some other fairies who have been involved with the baby and actually had been put in charge of her growing up and becoming a young woman, and they were able to mitigate the curse and decree that the prick of her finger will put her into a deep sleep, and then she can only be awakened by the kiss of true love. Well, there it is. True love. Everything always eventually comes down to that, to finding true love, doesn't it? Because loving and being loved is the whole reason for everything. That's why I'm telling you this story tonight on Finding Mr. Right, because if I asked every single person who is looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right, I believe every single one of you would say that you are really looking for true love. Okay, so in the story, I believe the first mistake that the fairy made was getting involved with a mortal. Because as I said last week, it's not that unions between different species or different cultures or different races don't work, but they just don't work as easily. There are more hurdles to jump. There are more details to iron out, and unions between beings who are from the same level start out with a measure of unity and understanding that is already established. And right now, I have to talk about the most important thing I want you to remember from this program tonight. I do not teach compromise. That is a word that needs to be eliminated from the language of relationships. The word itself is self-defining. It means against the promise. C-O-M, against. P-R-O-M-I-S-E, promise. Against the promise. So right there, you know you don't ever want to do it. Here are some of the other definitions. An agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. To settle a dispute by mutual concession. That means you give something up. This next one is just awful. Accept standards that are lower than is desirable. When would we ever want to do that? Be weakened by accepting standards that are lower than is desirable. You know what other words go with that? Damage, harm, jeopardize. Compromise. A way of reaching agreement in which each person gives up something that was wanted in order to end an argument or dispute. Each person gives up something just to end the argument? Never! This is not the way to work things out. When you start with the root of that word, it is promise. And you know who this promise is usually to? It's a promise you've made to yourself. So if you're giving up some part of yourself, that's what you're doing when you compromise. So in a union that is of a different species, there would definitely be times when the self of one or the other of them is going to be in jeopardy, weakened, damaged, or harmed. And in the case of the fairy, she was harmed horribly. She lost her wings. She lost her freedom. She lost her identity as a fairy. And by the time she realized what was happening, she was grounded. This was devastating to her, and she was damaged to the core of her being. All right, I'm thinking about finding Mr. Right. If you're setting up your boundaries for your perfect life partner, you want to draw a picture of a mate who is your sure and pure complement, not your counterpart. When I talk to women about making their perfect life partner list, they tell me they're afraid to make a list because they feel that by making the list, they're eliminating possible partners. Well, duh, that's the entire purpose for making the list. I mean, how many frogs do you want to kiss before you find your prince? I mean, let's just get rid of all the frogs. Don't waste your time with them. Remember that story I told you about, the girl who does my massages? She had been with her boyfriend for 5 years, and she openly confesses that he not only isn't what she wants now, he never has been. So for 5 years of her life are now down the rabbit hole. That's lost. You can't get him back. But some of you will say, well, at least I wasn't alone. Well, that is true. You weren't alone. But what could have you been doing with those 5 years if you had him back and you were alone? Could you have graduated from college? Could you have started your own business? Could you have lost 50 or 100 pounds and developed a physical fitness program? Could you have gone to all sorts of weird and wonderful meetings about everything under the sun like I did? Could you have bought a house? Could you have been giving to yourself all the things that you think that Prince Charming should give to you? Could you have been exploring all of your fairy powers? I have just been so challenged since I've seen this movie because I say we have all been grounded. We have all lost our wings. We are spiritual beings. Each one of us is a ray of light that has taken on a physical form. But this physical form is not limited to just being in one place. This physical form can transform back into a ray of light at any time. There are stories in the Bible about the disciples transporting from one place to another in an instant. I mean, the machine on the Enterprise in Star Trek could beam me up, Scotty. And the power in our mind can send forth that light beam and then travel to that distant place in a flash. I mean, the whole concept of Spider-Man is that from within himself he sends out the substance that he uses to make his web, and using the matrix of that web, he can go anywhere. This is how we can do it. After you see Maleficent, you perhaps will begin to think in terms of the kinds of powers you already have. So I believe the mortal in the story was sincere at the beginning when he first met the fairy. And he was captivated in his heart by her beauty and her powers. But his mortal ways got in the way, and his mortal thinking took over for power and glory to become the king. Now, as I look at this story, I think the original attraction was so that the fairy could teach the mortal the higher spiritual laws. And as he would ascend in his spiritual life, then he could have joined her as king in her kingdom of joy and bliss, where everyone and everything lived in loving harmony and respect and admiration for each other's talents and gifts. But his mortality only saw the kingdoms of the earth as they pertain to ruling over people and making everyone be subject to his rules and regulations without regard to the hopes and dreams and deepest desires of the people themselves. And he entered into the ways of the world that involves war and killing and competition and dog-eat-dog and the survival of the fittest. Does that sound kind of familiar? Because that's where we've been for thousands of years. That's where we have been since the goddess of the ancient civilizations had her wings cut off and she was grounded, beginning with Adam, Abraham, and then Yahweh and a whole slew of other patriarchs. And the woman was put down under the feet of the man, and she was told to be silent and to submit, and all of her spiritual perceptions and her spiritual wisdoms have been lost. And the man has pillaged and plundered his way along a darkened path of dominion and control. And money became the bottom line for making all the decisions instead of love. And there is the root of all the evil. Okay, so in the movie, the king finds out that Maleficent has put this curse on his daughter so that at 16, she does prick her finger on the spinning wheel and falls into this coma. So he comes after Maleficent with all the king's horses and all the king's men. And Maleficent sees this horde of marauders storming their way towards her, but she stands her ground in the face of the onslaught, and she commands, "Stand with me." And the entire earth erupts, and all those elementals and the powers of the earth begin to stand forth in magnificent forms of power and strategy and energy machines. And Maleficent, in oneness with the elementals of the earth, as the mother goddess in all her powers, makes mincemeat of all the king's horses and all the king's men. It is just so fantastic. You're going to want to stand up and cheer and cheer. Hooray, hooray. Go, Maleficent. Go, girl. And that's what we need to do today, women. We need to stand our ground. Because first of all, we need to know about our power. And then stand in our power and stand for ourselves, being one with all the powers of the earth and the elementals. And to face the future unchained and unafraid. But we need to know what our ground is. Our ground is not the battlefield. Our ground is not the boardroom. Our kingdom is not part of the kingdoms of the earth. We are not part of the drifters and the ramblers and the gadabouts, the wanderers, the warriors and the combatants and the competition. In fact, we are the dweller, the habitant, the resident, the settler. We are fixed. We are the home. We set and hold the boundaries with the help of the gnomes. We keep the home fires burning with the help of the salamanders. And we nourish and care for the family with the help of the undines. And we clarify and purify with the help of the sylphs. We are connected to the power of Mother Earth as we stand in our power as the mother and the keeper of our kingdom. And here is where the true love is. The true love is the love of the mother. And this is exactly what the movie Maleficent shows. Because after Maleficent stands in her power and defeats all the king's horses and all the king's men, she then goes to the sleeping child. And she is so overwhelmed by her love for this beautiful child. And she leans down and kisses the child on her forehead. And then as she begins to walk away, this young girl opens her eyes and sits up and calls to Maleficent. And then together they go to the Maleficent's kingdom. This little child who brings her back her wings. And Maleficent is restored to the fullness of herself as the goddess of her kingdom. And her mother heart is healed and is opened again to love and to be loved. Well, Miss Single Lady, you have this mother heart, because this mother heart is the womb of the entire creation. The mother heart is the face of the deep in that black Hindu goddess Kali. The mother goddess is symbolized with 4 to 6, sometimes 8 arms in many of the ancient civilizations as she cares for and reaches out to soothe and comfort a groaning creation. The mother heart beats with the pulse of the earth. And that mother heart is in every husband, whether in every woman, whether she has ever had a child or not. Perhaps her mother heart is just for her husband. So, Miss Single Lady, go see this movie. See who you really are. Begin to explore your powers as the goddess. Begin to set and hold your boundaries and stand your ground, and calling upon all the powers of the earth to stand with me. Because Mr. Wright needs you. And he's waiting for you to take your place. Gonna ring those wedding bells.